It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Well, we're going to change topics here at 9 o'clock and welcome the registered patent attorney, John Risvey. He is called the patent professor, and we'll explain a little bit more about that. But we're going to talk about something called ChatGPT. I knew little about ChatGPT until I talked with Professor Risvey this afternoon. Professor Risvey, welcome to Nightside. How are you?
Yes, welcome, Dan. Wonderful to be here. Actually, the world knew very little about ChatGPT until November. So it's not been around for very long, but it's taken a lot of people by storm, especially educators, anyone involved in technology. What fields has it not impacted? The legal field, finance, media, you name it.
Yeah, it certainly, it just seems that things are coming so quickly. You know, when I started a long time ago as a lawyer, an electric typewriter was something that was quite quite important to law firms. If you could type well, but
it seems strange. But when at one point when you filed a patent application, and this is in my career in the late 90s, you submitted a self-addressed stamped postcard. And when your patent was received, they would stamp a patent pending number and mail that back to you. That's how you knew the application was received. I mean,
that sounds like a pretty efficient system. I mean, you know, I think that was okay. So, first of all, let us chat GPT. GPT stands for, you told me today, Generative Pre-Trained Transformer.
Exactly.
let's break that down. Generative pre-trained transformer. Sounds like something out of a Star Wars episode of many years ago. What are we talking about?
Yeah, so it's essentially an online tool. It's a free online tool by a San Francisco-based startup, OpenAI, for artificial intelligence. And it allows you to basically enter natural language text just as if you were speaking to another human being, and it will write questions for you, it will answer questions, write sentences. You can even ask it to write a poem. It'll write a poem for you. You tell it how many words. It's unbelievable. It's really incredibly powerful.
So we know what it can do, and just to give people an example, I know that there are a lot of high school teachers and college professors that are concerned that students will be able to somehow access this artificial intelligence. I guess it's available to anyone. There's no cost to it. You just have to download it onto your computer, correct?
Exactly. They do ask for an email address. And then you'd be verified. They'll send a text message to your cell phone, and that's it. You're on.
So if I'm a high school student, and I'm under pressure to do either a book report or some sort of an essay of a couple of thousand words, I literally can sit in front of my computer, activate ChatGPT, and then ask ChatGPT to produce an essay or whatever, a book report, tell them what subject needs to be covered, and I can sit back and I can almost tell them I need 1,000 words or I need 300 words or I need whatever I need. I mean, this sounds to me it sounds to me like there's some danger here that kids will be so reliant on this, they will somehow be able to get through schools without ever having to write an essay on their own if they chose to follow that course.
Oh, 100%, 100%. If things aren't put into place to prevent cheating and prevent the use of ChatGPT, like it's going to completely, I think, even impact not just writing but cognitive thinking, because it's just such an incredible shortcut.
So this is an advancement, okay? I mean, for example, you and I, when we were, well, I know when I was young, didn't have computers. The advantage of computers is if you want to do the work yourself, you can jump on, and if you, you know, check primary sources, secondary sources, you can learn quite a bit about a subject, and you have at your ability, you have at your fingertips, literally on a computer, way in which you can gather information and find information, and then you probably create great essays, better essays than I would have ever written because of the availability of the information. But you're still using primary sources. Maybe you don't have to go to a library anymore and sit in a library. You can just sit at home. Would you say that's an accurate characterization of the world we are in before ChatGPT?
It is. It is, and that's. But there's still an incredible amount of creativity and control that the author has, despite all of these tools, you know, kind of being done. So it's almost like, yes, a paintbrush is a tool for helping somebody paint, but somebody is, you know, the painter is holding the brush and doing every brush stroke themselves. You know, compare that to. I don't know, like some kind of automated robotic painting system.
Yeah.
It's completely different. And well, so that's where I think the comparison fails.
Okay. Well, I think what we have done is we have kind of given an explanation of what this ChatGPT does. There are bigger concerns. Is it going to replace people in the workplace and all of that? But just to show people... how powerful this tool is, and like any powerful tool, it can be used for good or for bad. We talked about this today, but I am going to, you tell me that ChatGPT could put together a poem, let's say in 50 words, and let's just pick a subject that maybe most New Englanders are familiar with. So if I was saying to you, Professor John Rizvi, we're going to be back in about 3 minutes after this break, John, and I would, Professor, and I would like you to write a poem about Tom Brady. I don't think you could do that, nor could I, in 3 minutes. But
no way.
But you are going to be able to get a poem about the great Tom Brady, not only a New England Patriots quarterback, but a Tampa quarterback. You're located in Florida, so I picked the subject here. You're going to enter a request to ChatGPT for a poem, 50 words about Tom Brady, and when we come back from this break, you're telling me that you'll have a poem that you'll be able to read to us that was produced by ChatGPT. Is that correct?
Absolutely. In fact, I guess if you say your break's about 3 minutes, the ChatGPT would take about 10 seconds to write that poem.
Well, I'll tell you what, I will settle for 3 minutes. So you go ahead and let's see what ChatGPT can come up with on Tom Brady. Again, I'm using this, ladies and gentlemen, as an example. Again, having worked in television, I wish I could show this physically to you. But when we come back in 3 minutes, this piece of AI, artificial intelligence, will produce a poem which will be read by Professor John Rizvi. I know you find this hard to believe, but this is where we are. And then the questions will fall out of this is this something we can't put the genie back in the bottle, but how do we control this genie to make sure that people don't lose jobs? And I think that already there's some companies that have said that they have used and are using ChatGPT, and people have been have lost jobs. We'll take a break. My guest is Professor John Rizvi. He is a law professor, registered patent attorney. His handle sort of is the patent professor, by the way. Any of you out there who want to get in contact directly with patent attorney Professor John Rizvi, his website is simply thepatentprofessor.com. And he's been doing this for a long time. And, of course, we can talk about patent and copyright law and things like that as well. But Let's see what the poem is going to sound like about Tom Brady on the other side of this break.
It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Now, before we left for the break, I asked my guest, Professor John Risvy, who is known as the patent professor. He's a law school professor as well. If he could ask ChatGPT, this artificial intelligence program, which I guess was only unveiled, I think it was last November, if I'm not mistaken, Professor.
Yes, last November.
If through his computer and through ChatGPT, ChatGPT could produce a 50-word poem for Tom Brady. Did ChatGPT accomplish the task we gave it, Professor?
Well, you tell me. I'll read the poem, and then I'd love to hear what you guys think. But here goes. Tom Brady, the GOAT, 6 rings upon his hand, a legend in his time, his record hard to stand. He's faced adversity, and still he persevered. His passion for the game has made him revered. Tom Brady, a true star, a champion through and through. His legacy will endure for all that he can do.
And pretty good.
That took ChatGPT about 10 seconds to generate.
Okay. Now, you know what, Professor? Let's do this. I'm sure that there may be some skeptics in my audience, okay? I'm sure that there may be some people who will say, oh, you know, the professor probably wrote that poem himself because it's a very good poem. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the next caller, if they would like, to pick the name of some person that, you know, is well known. I mean, I don't want them to pick their crazy Uncle Harry who's living in the attic. But, you know, a public figure, politician, a sports figure, someone that I would know, and we'll put ChatGPT to the test. So let's have a little bit of fun with this. I'm going to go to Tom in Dorchester. Tom, welcome. You are first tonight on Nightside.
Hi, Dan. I was going to call about something else, but if you want to, you know, I'm a big Donald Trump guy. So if you can do something about Donald Trump. You want me to tell you what I first called about?
Well, not really, unless it's related to this, Tom. I hate to do that to you.
Yeah, it's related to this.
Go ahead.
I just want to say, wouldn't this be kind of dangerous? Couldn't this object go to the stock market? And you can plug in, what's the best growth stock? What's the best dividend stock? Which stock has the best earning? And you could get all this information, and you could just bypass a stockbroker. And you'd probably get all the best stocks in the world.
Well, very few people use, not many people still use stockbrokers, but let's see what Professor Risvy says about that. Obviously, a lot of that sort of analytical information is available on the internet these days. But the concern that you raise may be a good one. Professor Risvy, could you comment on what the apprehension that Tom just expressed?
Yeah, so he brings up an interesting point, because the way ChatGPT works is it scours existing data, right? So clearly it's going to look at billions of documents, videos, YouTube, Google searches, everything that's compiled. And the answer depends on, you know, on the knowledge base that's there. And theoretically, if ChatGPT existed, for example, back when when people thought the world was flat, and if you were to ask ChatGPT back then, is the Earth round or flat, you would get the wrong answer. But you would get the answer based on the prevalent understanding at the time. And ChatGPT would come back and say the world is flat. So that's a danger. But I don't know how much of a danger, that's even a danger if you're researching the old-fashioned way, so to speak, right? If you're going to go to sources on anything, what you're going to find is current information. I mean, you're going to find, you know, for example, is time travel possible? if you know, if you were to ask that, I don't know, but if you were to ask that to ChatGPT, like currently, they would probably say it's not possible. So that's the limitation. It's not providing the ultimate real answer. It's providing what the preponderance of the evidence, what basically is scoured and find out there.
Might use a different term, the conventional wisdom.
Conventional wisdom, exactly.
And we know that the conventional wisdom invariably turns out to be wrong.
Exactly.
Tom, good suggestion.
You know, be able to give you in just a few seconds all the right answers: growth, earnings, liabilities.
No, we got that. We got that. But again, you could probably get that. Of course, the stock market moves at such a pace now, Tom.
Yeah.
You know, it's frightening. Well, look, Tom. Thanks. That was a good question, even though you didn't call for the specific topic. Yeah. Where have you been?
Thank
I've missed
you very much, Dan. Great show.
Where have you been? Your voice has been quiet the last few weeks.
Yeah. Well. I have been away for a while. I'm back again, but I don't call him.
Now, when you say you've been away, Tom, we're not talking about spending time in a penal institution. I know you well enough to know that is not so.
Well, no.
I know. I'm only kidding. Thanks, Tom. Be well, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great night. We're coming up on a break at the bottom of the hour. And Patrick in the District of Columbia is one of my more creative callers. Patrick, you are going to have the honor when we get back of using ChatGPT through the good office of Professor John Risvy. So why don't you think of someone that we all would know? You can pick, you know, an obscure president. Let's say Chester Arthur. You don't have to pick Chester Arthur, but there are plenty of obscure presidents. And we'll see if ChatGPT, in a matter of a few seconds, can produce a 50-word poem. An ode, if you will. This is amazing. I'm having fun with it. I hope, Professor, you understand that what we're trying to do is make people really understand what we're talking about here, because we will do this on the other side. And Patrick, who's a very smart guy in Washington and probably has at his fingertips a lot of interesting suggestions, we'll do it with Patrick. We'll also take his call as well. In the meantime, we'll take a break. We have one line open at 617-254-1030, and we have a couple at that 617-931-1030 number. That is often sits there, folks. So if you're getting busy signals, try that one. 617-931-1030. Back on Nightside with the patent professor, law school professor John Risvy, talking about ChatGPT. We are at the dawning of ChatGPT. We might talk about this 6 months or a year from now and have an entirely different perspective. But there are concerns. There are legitimate concerns that something like ChatGPT could be used by high school students, college students, I mean, even law school students, Professor. We'll get to all of that and more coming right back on Nightside after the news at the bottom of the hour.
Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Thank you very much, Nicole Davis. Let's go to the aforementioned Patrick in the District of Columbia. Hey, Patrick, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, thank you, and it's great to be with you on this evening, and this is an interesting subject. And
Patrick,
of course,
to help us prove the legitimacy of this experiment, I'm going to give you the honor of picking the name of a public figure, and we will submit that name through Professor John Risvy, the patent professor, to ChatGPT, and I would say within probably 15 to 20 seconds, the professor will be able to read a poem produced by ChatGPT about that individual that you're about to name. And obviously, there's no conspiracy here. I did not pick you. I picked you because you were the next caller after Tom. So,
okay, sir.
Who would you like? Would you like to have a 50-word poem written about in a very few seconds through the artificial intelligence known as ChatGPT?
Well, keeping in the continuity of our subject matter, and we discussed the stock market, and here there is a report of promo for Wall Street, I decided to pick the man who made Wall Street, A.J. Drexel.
Woof. I got to tell you, I have never heard of A.J. Drextel. How do you spell A.J. Drextel's last name? Is it like Drexel University, D-R-E-X-E-L?
Yes, that's the band.
Okay, Professor, what do you think? Shall we ask for a poem for A.J. Drextel? I guess was the man who created Wall Street? Is that what you're telling me, Patrick?
Yes, that's what they say.
I've told you we have smart callers here, Professor.
We do. Let's see if ChatGPT knows who A.J. Drextel is.
Yep. So A.J. as in Andrew Jackson. A.J. Drextel, like Drextel University, D-R-E-X-E-L.
Okay. It's working. I typed it in, and it's generating. There it is. It's got it.
All right. Now, Patrick, you certainly came up with an obscure, what I think was an obscure person. But, Professor, would you mind sharing with us the poem, the 50-word poem that has been created in the last less than 50 seconds by ChatGPT about A.J. Drextel, the founder, according to Patrick, of Wall Street?
Here goes. In the heart of Philly, a banker's son was born. A.J. Drextel was his name, a legacy he'd adorn. Investment banking he'd pursue, and with his vision, thrive. A leader in his field, A.J. Drextel, one of a kind.
Pretty good. What do you think, Patrick?
He was born in Philadelphia. Quite an interesting story. The interesting story of his parents who came to America from Romania, I believe it was. I needed to keep it all in the continuity because we were talking about the stocks and things like that.
Right, well, that was Tom's contribution. Yeah. So I mean, it's amazing that obviously that was produced by ChatGPT in the period of time that we're talking about, and. I will be honest with you. I did not know. I assume Drexel University is named for this fellow. Is that correct? Okay. Did you go to Drexel perchance, Patrick, or no?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. So we pulled it all together now. On cross examination, we find out why Patrick chose A.J. Drextel. Do you have a question for Professor Risby? Go right ahead, Patrick.
The question is, and this is something that I'm a regular caller and listener to our radio station here, sir. I had explained to Mr. Morgan at one time that I had went out and purchased a drafting table because I wanted to physically write, in my mind, the vision of writing is wonderful. And so I kept writing and using my drafting table because I like the way that it's angled and, you can make a good spread there when you do your writing. And I found out over a little bit of time that my short-term memory was improving and I attributed to my handwriting, that I was handwriting. Huh. You mentioned, Professor, that this kind of stuff can really interfere with your cognitive learning. Is that not correct? Did I hear that?
Oh, 100%. And I think it's, and technology does that. All of us, those of us old enough to remember reversing without a rear view camera, for example, or getting somewhere with a real physical map that you have to open, we've lost a lot of that ability with GPS and kids. I mean, a lot of kids these days, the safety features are making them oblivious to dangers, like the lane changing warnings if there's someone in your blind spot. Like, how many people really know and actually move their head to the right to look for a vehicle? Like, what would happen if your rear view camera and your lane changing device doesn't work? Look what's happened to spelling without spell check. So there is a degradation in skills that comes with technology that you just lose that ability. And cognitive thinking is a big part of writing, forms that. And it's funny you mention writing, physically with a pen on paper, because as a professor, I'm thinking of requiring that, not just because, just to prevent cheating. It's funny how things are going full circle, because if they have a pencil and a pen and I have them, the students in a room without access to a computer, without access to typing, and I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of schools are doing away with teaching cursive writing. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to read the answers anymore. what I'm going to get, people are going to be printing there won't be any script. So I don't know. There's a lot to be, a lot of questions there. But how else are teachers supposed to, how are you supposed to assign an essay with ChatGPT and feel confident that students are not using this technology, and are you testing really the person with the best writing ability and the best cognitive ability, the person who studied, or the student who's really gotten advanced and knows what all the best apps are for artificial intelligence to finish the assignment? Is it the student that's really the best techno nerd in the class that's going to end up doing the best? I mean, they've already used ChatGPT as a test for the law exam and obtained, it didn't ace it, but it obtained a really decent passing score on the law exam.
I don't want my freedom based on that guy, that's for sure.
All right. Hey, Patrick, great call as always. You did not disappoint, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right, let me go to John, and let me get a couple more in here. We have a lot of calls. Let's get to as many as we can. I'm going to go next to John in Framingham. John, you're next on Nightside with,
hi,
with Professor John
okay?
Risvy. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, you hear me okay?
Hear you fine.
Okay, I downloaded it, and I have an old poem on Charlie Ostrowski.
You've downloaded it just now?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear your poem on Carl Yastrzemski, great Red Sox left fielder, Hall of Famer for the Boston Red Sox. Go ahead.
Okay, Carl Yastrzemski, a Red Sox legend for all to see, a man of grace and skill and might, who bat could light up the darkest night. With his trusty glove and steady hand, he patrolled left field like no other man. And at the plate, he was a force to behold, a true hitter, worth his weight in gold. In 67, he led the way to Boston's first championship in many a day, and he did it with a quiet pride that made his teammates stand by his side. From the Green Monster to the pesky pole, he
this is more than 50, this is more, John, this is more than 50 words. Go ahead.
Okay, and when he stepped, well, I need a piano to accompany that too. And when he stepped to the plate, opposing pitches could feel their fate. There, I'm done with that.
Okay, so you did that in the last couple of minutes.
Yes, I did.
You write very well, John. What's your question, if any, for Professor Risvy?
No question. I want to thank him for having this because I'm going to start using it.
The interesting thing is if you don't give it a word limit, it kind of comes up with its own. So I don't know if you gave it a word limit for your poem. It doesn't
don't
go
think
on
he
forever.
Did. But it was still, but it was all accurate. But I mean, it was accurate in terms of its description. You know,
yeah.
And you know, for any Red Sox fan like John or me who remembered the 1967 Red Sox after a 21-year World Series drought, they were back in the World Series in 1967. John, thank you.
Okay, and thank you. This is great.
Who ever thought that two guys like you and me would be talking about ChatGPT? You never know what you're going to get on Nightside. Thanks, John. Talk to you soon.
Yep. Bye-bye. Right.
We will keep rolling. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Professor, this has been wonderful, and we have just one more segment to go, but what has been wonderful about this is you have been able to take a subject that would have intimidated me, that did intimidate me, and now I understand it. And, Professor, if I understand it, I guarantee you my audience understands it. So, again, you're a great teacher and a great lawyer and a great patent attorney, but you are now a great radio presenter. I mean that in the I say that as sincerely as I can say it. And we'll be back. We'll take a break. We got Tammy and Gloucester and Ed and Braintree. And if you want to try to sneak in, folks, feel free. Join the conversation. Coming back on Nightside.
You're on Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Next up, Tammy in Gloucester, Massachusetts. Tammy, you are next on Nightside with Professor John Risvey. Go ahead, Tammy.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Professor Risvey, go right ahead. What's your question?
Thanks. So I don't even know that I have a question, but I am going to provide a different point of view because I think it's one that might be interesting to everyone listening to this.
Go ahead.
So in my world of marketing and advertising, it is one of the hottest topics that everyone is speaking about because in the world of marketing and advertising, it's all about copywriters and brand positioners and strategists and people that get paid a lot of money to go out and do research and data and synthesize information and write about brands like Apple, whatever, or the smallest brand in a local town.
Yeah.
And the big, big question mark is how to use this or integrate it into companies whereby you're not ditching your copywriters or your brand strategists or all these people who actually are brilliant and take all these data points and actually make them into stories. Because, like, you guys are talking about, okay, I'm going to grab all these data points about Kyle Yastrzemski or whomever that are in Wikipedia, and they're all great facts. Like, if you're writing a book, you can get all these data points, and you can prove everything you're writing about. Mm-hmm. But where does it fit into the world of marketing, and how can it be used effectively? Because, to me, artificial intelligence is only as smart as how many times it's asked the same question. It gets smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter each time. So it's a big open-ended question. I know there's no answer right now that probably even the professor can
answer. Let's see what the professor wants to react to that. Go ahead, Professor.
Yeah, so a great point. And there's a lot of concern with, especially in marketing, advertising, anything relating to content creation. That, you know, about concern about job losses, right? Because there's, it's a tremendous shortcut. However, there's no judgment in ChatGPT, right? So that's where anyone that's doing like the really creative copywriting, sales type copy, where there's still value in that, and maybe even more so because there's going to be less and less of that type of writing. I think it's going to have a huge impact on the bulk writing that a lot of companies are doing for search engines, right? There's a lot of writing done to help trick Google into raising the, you know, your business's, I guess, exposure onto
like
page
SEO
one.
And stuff.
SEO. Yep. So there's, and so that, yep, I think is going to, and I, you know, anytime there's new technology developed, there's, you know, the laws always take some time to catch up. So right now, there's no requirement on books. For example, Amazon, the largest bookseller in the world, doesn't require authors to reveal whether ChatGPT has been used or not. I think it's just going to be a matter of time before that requirement's going to be there, because people want they want a point of view. They want an author's point of view. They just don't want facts. And because if they want that, like, why would they buy the book off Amazon if it's generated by ChatGPT when it's free? So you could sign up and get the book yourself. So why would you purchase it? What you're trying to get is an author's unique individual viewpoint, and I think that's never going to go away because of ChatGPT. Now, is it going to have an impact on bulk writing for search engines and SEO? I absolutely think it will. There's going to be technology developed to catch when ChatGPT has been used. There's already some apps out there that claim to be able to detect human writing from something written by ChatGPT. I will tell you that I've played around with it. I cannot tell. So for my exams, they're going to be in class with a pen and paper, because there's just no way I don't have the ability to tell a ChatGPT answer from something that somebody's writing out themselves.
Tammy, I want to get a couple more callers in if I can. Thank you for your point of view.
Thank you,
it's very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me go next real quickly. Ed in Braintree. Ed, want to get you and one more in. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, first of all, Ben, I'm an avid user of ChatGPT. I use it like I use Google. I would just say the first thing I would say is, I remember when we had to take the all those LSAT, all the graduate school exams, and they wouldn't let you use calculators on exams, which they do now. So somehow I think that we're just going to evolve with the technology. But I thought what I would do is I'm going to read a couple of questions that I've asked it just in the last couple of days. Sure. I asked the question, what is the correlation between food insecurity and chronic disease? It gave me an answer. Then I said, please provide the references. It provided the references. I said, please create a recipe for a pasta sauce using Irish whiskey, which it did. I said, what would a recipe taste like that used the following ingredients? Please provide the definition, the difference between personal nutrition and precision nutrition, and please develop a work plan for creating a digital marketing strategy.
Oof. Whoa. Professor.
From what I've, my point is, instead of just Googling something, I can just ask a question and get an answer.
No, I get it. I totally get it.
And what I've read that it has some problems with racial bias. And I've, in my own experience, when I've asked recipe questions and I'll ask it to be allergen free, it will sometimes include allergens in the ingredients list. And to always remember that it can't actually taste anything. So, however the algorithm is working, it's giving like a best guess. But sort of human, you'd say, okay, I would never put those two things together.
Ed, that's a lot of information. I want to get one more caller in. I appreciate you. That's a great example of how you can use it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Robert, you're the last caller, and you're a little late. I got about maybe 40 seconds for you. What can you do?
Okay. With? Yes. Good evening. Good evening, Professor. Can this predict any winning lottery numbers?
Well, it's funny. I mean, I don't know. Let's let me ask you right now. Can ChatGPT predict lottery numbers? And I'll tell you what it says. Let's see.
Could it predict like any of them, the Powerball, make millions, or all of these games?
Don't spend any money yet.
Okay. Is it spelled CHAT?
Yes.
And then CPT?
GPT, like Georgia, Pennsylvania, Toronto, GPT.
Okay, CHAT and then GPT.
Yeah, right.
And what is the professor's name?
The professor is Professor John Rizvi, R-I-Z-V-I. You can find him at The Patent Professor. That is his website.
Okay.
Did you get an answer for us, Professor, on that important question?
Did we get an answer?
Here it is. No, I'm sorry, but I cannot predict winning lottery numbers. Lottery numbers are generated randomly, making it impossible for me to predict them with any accuracy.
That is a comprehensive answer. Robert, good question. We ended on a high note. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it.
Okay, and can I look this up with a cell phone, if the cell phone has...
Yes, I assume you can, if it's a smartphone. If it's a flip phone, probably not. Thank you, Robert. Professor, you've been a great guest. I've been trying to get into actually open a GPT account, and I'm having difficulty with it. But I will prevail, and we'll talk again. Thank you, Professor. You were really a fabulous guest.
Oh, thank you, and keep trying. There's so many users trying to log on that it took me several attempts, and this was a few weeks ago. But
okay, and I would also, by the way, like to mention that people can contact you if they would like. You're a patent attorney at The Patent Professor. That is your website, the easiest way that people can contact you directly. Is that correct?
Yeah, The Patent Professor is our website. It's also our handle on LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, The Patent Professor everywhere.
Perfect. All right, Professor John Rizvi, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. This was a great hour of radio. Thanks.
Thank you.
Here comes the 10 o'clock news. We're going to talk about why a tennis player can't play tennis in America. Unless he walks over the border. We'll be back after the 10.